May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Please be seated. So if you follow the lectionary closely, you will notice that I've added a few verses today to our gospel reading. I did that because the whole exchange between Jesus and the scribe who gets it is the setting for the teaching that Jesus launches into when he says, "Beware the scribes, the ones wishing to wear the long, fancy robes, to be greeted with respect, and to have the best seats." Thank goodness there's no one here who's wearing long, fancy robes. Oh my goodness, and that's my seat right up front, too. Yikes. Jesus wasn't talking about me, was he? Well, actually, I don't think that Jesus was warning against any individuals or even any group of people, so much as he was warning against a particular type of behavior that is counter to the great commandment identified by that one scribe, the close to the kingdom scribe, who understood what Jesus was doing. Jesus doesn't come along and say to the scribes and the Pharisees, "Your religion is all wrong." It's more like he comes into the temple and says, "How does what you're doing here relate to the commandment to love God and love your neighbor?" As the scribe rightly observes, well, to love God with all the heart and with all the understanding and with all the strength and to love one's neighbor as oneself, this is more than all the whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. It is our actions towards each other and toward God that matter. It isn't the religion that's wrong. It's the behavior in the name of religion. The scribes Jesus warns us about, they don't just claim the best for themselves. They exploit the most vulnerable class of any society in order to get it. The widows. He says they devour their houses for their sake of their well-being, for their privilege. Well, I'm okay then, because I don't act like that. At least not on purpose. I don't think. I don't know. Sometimes maybe I do. Jesus makes this temple scenario into a teaching moment for his disciples. He points out the widow who, out of her poverty, put into the temple treasury all of her living, all of her sustenance, everything she had, all of her life. It might be tempting for a preacher to make this teaching moment about giving extravagantly for the good of the temple or for the parish. But is that really what Jesus is doing here? Is he praising her as an exemplar of a tithing parishioner? Or is Jesus bringing the poor widow to our attention so that we'll notice what she has in common with him? What is the lesson Jesus is teaching in the temple? I think Jesus is in solidarity with the widow. The widow gives all her living, humbly and in faith. And Jesus gives all of his living, his very life, humbly and in faith. St. Paul paints the picture very clearly in Philippians 2. Jesus humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. And that death on a cross stands in direct contrast to the expectations that so many people had for their Messiah. Jesus, the Messiah, does not come in on a military war horse to overthrow empires. He comes in on a lowly donkey to overthrow sin and death. The Messiah doesn't strut around in long robes claiming the best seat in the house, and he doesn't work in cahoots with the establishment to get the best deal for himself. Jesus, the Messiah, heals and feeds and saves lives and souls. He humbles himself to welcome and serve the lowliest and the most helpless, widows and children, refugees, those who are sick, the elderly, those who cannot speak or act for themselves. Jesus gives all of that and his very life too. He gives his life for the widow, putting her living all that she has into the treasury. He sees her costly faith in the midst of so much wealth and privilege, and he goes to the cross for her. And Jesus calls his disciples to see the poor widow too, and calls us to do the same. He calls the church to give the whole of its life for the sake of healing and reconciling and binding up wounds. The work of the body of Christ is ministering to the needs of the poor, the sick, the lonely, the powerless, engaging in the struggle to free people from sin, fear, oppression, hunger, and injustice, giving ourselves, our souls and bodies, and all our substance to the service of those who suffer, sharing with Christ in the establishing of his just, peaceable, and loving rule in the world. That description of the mission of the church comes to us from our Presbyterian brothers and sisters, and I think they get it just about right. The church is called to undertake this mission even at the risk of losing its life. Seems to me we have a choice. We can be like the scribes who like to dress for success, to be seen in all the right places with all the right people, and all the while ignoring the people who are rubbing their last two coins together, trying to decide whether they're going to pay the rent or feed the kids. Or we can act like it matters that Jesus died for our neighbors as well as for us. Jesus is teaching in the temple that being his disciple is hard. Being his follower is costly. It's costly for us to recognize that we're not really anything like the widow, giving all that she has. Whatever we give or give up, we're giving from abundance. We live in the richest society that has ever been. Most of us will never know what it is to be the widow in this story, nor the widow in Zarephath, in that reading from 2 Kings, who had a little oil and a little grain. She gave it to a stranger. Some of us have a hard time giving a dollar to a stranger on the street because we don't know if that person will use it wisely. And I know this is true because I've tried to work out that calculus myself. These two widows show us how to imagine what the kingdom of God looks like. Their giving of their livelihood foreshadows Jesus' own act for us. Jesus will give his whole life, his entire life, not just for the widows, but for the scribes. He'll give his life for the scribe who understands the great commandment, and he'll give his life for the scribes who exploit their position for their own gain. These two widows embody God's own kingdom. These two unnamed women of the Bible act out the very mystery of giving their lives for something beyond themselves, Discipleship is costly. Following Jesus is costly. It will cost us money and sweat and tears and pride and privilege. But what we gain from that cost is more precious than gold. It is sweeter than honey, and it will last for eternity. What if the cost of our discipleship is what it costs to transform our country and our world into a just and peaceful and loving home for all of God's children? Can you imagine that? Can you imagine a place where children can go to school and young people can dance in a nightclub and faithful Jews and Christians and Sikhs and Muslims can go worship God in safety? Can you imagine a world where parents don't have to decide between paying rent and buying food for their families? Can you imagine a world that isn't being slowly choked by plastic and CO2 and an infinite number of cigarette butts and coffee stirrers? Can you imagine a world where parents never again have to send a son or a daughter off to fight in a war? I was reminded just before the service that at 11 o'clock, there is an observance of the 100th anniversary of Armistice Day. And I don't know if it's 11 o'clock right now, but it's pretty close. Let's take a minute. Pray for that world. Pray for that world. We call that world the kingdom of heaven. And it is built of love and sacrifices and choices that recognize our responsibility for each other and for this world that God made. What would you give for that world? Would you be willing to give all your heart and your mind and your strength and your soul to love God and your neighbor? Because that's what Jesus did and taught. And if we're his disciples, his followers, in the way of love, that's what we've got to do. That's my two cents for the day.